You're with Truth News Radio Australia. Welcome back to hour two of the show. And in the second hour of today's show, I have a really, really interesting interview, and we're just having a little trouble getting our guest on. We're just trying to make the connection here. And the person I'm getting on is Wanda from the CSG movement, which has been doing incredible work in bringing awareness to the incredible environmental threats and the incredible problems and dangers of fracking technologies which are being used to pull coal seam gas out of the ground. And it is being done all over the country. Of course, it is being done in the United States. It is being done in Europe. It is being done all over the world. And look, I've got so many questions about it, and I'm just really, really keen, really looking forward to getting Wanda on the show, and we're just waiting now for that connection to come through. What I'll do is actually, while we're waiting, I'll just read to you from an article that I mentioned last week on the show about AGL. That's the Australian gas, one of the main Australian gas companies in the country. And this was published about a week ago in the Sydney Morning Herald. And the title of the article is AGL Hello. Breaks fracking pledge. I think we've got Wanda on the show. Wanda, welcome to Truth News Radio. We are live.
Awesome.
And
thank you.
It is so great to have you on. I was just doing a bit of fill-in there, trying to cover some of the information about this that we've been getting.
We can try again on Skype. I could hear you both, but I'm not sure.
That's okay. I'm actually getting a really bad feedback hum, and I don't know if Chris, the producer, can hear that, but if there's something that can be done about it, I think we might need to, because it's pretty bad, unfortunately. Now, Wanda, let's just press ahead. You've been...
Yes, hi.
Welcome to Truth News Radio. Sorry it's been so a bit of a drama getting you on. You've been doing some...
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that.
No, that's fine. You've been doing some really interesting work with the movement. And you know what? I don't even know what to call it. I don't know what... What is the name of your movement? Does it have a name? Let's start there.
I'm a member of... various different community groups. I'm one of many people who put effort in. And one of the groups is called CSG Free Northern Rivers. There's also Lock the Gate Alliance. There's also Kyogle Group Against Gas. There's Rock Valley Gas Rangers. And at the moment, I've been supporting the Glenugie coal seam gas free community group, which is located 7 kilometres south of Grafton.
Okay, look, I think what we're going to have to do, Wanda, is get you to call back. We're having a really bad connection here. I'll just get you to hang up and call us right back, if that's okay.
Okay, no worries. Thank you so much.
Now, I'll just continue from the article there that I was reading from before. AGL breaks fracking pledge. Boy, that's a real tongue twister. Fracking pledge. I'll just read to you from the article. Fracking is back on the table for Western Sydney after the coal seam gas company AGL reversed a pledge not to use the controversial drilling technique in the suburbs. The company told Fairfax Media unconditionally on December 27 that it would not use fracking in its planned 66 well drilling program between Liverpool and Campbelltown. Now, I think we do have Wanda back on the line. Wanda, are you there? No, having a bit of a problem. I thought Wanda was back on the line, but she's not. So we'll just continue. And okay, I think that has got rid of the feedback hum that we had. I think we actually had a double connection there. So I will just now continue reading from the article. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we are having some technical problems today. AGL has backtracked after internal discussions revealed the company would have to change the drilling plans it has already submitted to the state government. It now says it would prefer to use a horizontal drilling technique to extract gas, but reserves the right to vertical drilling, which would lead to well stimulation or fracking. And this is a key point that I really want to get into in this show, is the question about different types of drilling and why it is that this fracking technique is so bad. Now, I'll just check. I think we may have Wanda back on the line. And yes, I do believe she is on the line. Wanda, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Terrific. Okay, I think we've solved our problems. Now, did you catch any of what I was just saying there, reading from the article?
No.
Okay. Well, I've just been reading from an article that was published in the Sydney Morning Herald last week. And the title of the article is AGL Breaks Fracking Pledge. And what they've said here, apparently, initially, AGL made a commitment that it would not use the fracking technique in its well drilling. Now, I'm new to this whole subject, and I didn't know that there were these two different techniques of vertical and horizontal drilling. But this is what has come out from this article. And it turns out that AGL has now said that they were originally planning to use the horizontal drilling technique, but they think they might have to use the vertical drilling technique. And if they do use the vertical drilling technique, guess what? They're going to have to frack. And so it's just a really bizarre kind of twisting of words. It just seems like a manipulation of people's trust and word games. But I tell you what, Wanda, why don't you just step us through why are you opposed to coal seam gas, and what the heck is this fracking business?
Yeah, well, exactly what you've just described there. With one, on one hand, they say, oh, we won't be doing this, which in that instance is fracking or horizontal drilling or vertical drilling, whichever it is they think they want to say to the public. And, you know, and well stimulation is now the fancy feel-good word for fracking.
Okay.
And fracking is so dangerous. There's just, we have a 10-year history in the US of evidence of contamination, children, families, animals getting sick from the contamination that can and does occur. We're also seeing these sorts of lies. They say that, oh, we've filled in submissions to the government, you know, in order for our approvals to be, you know, approved by the government, these applications to be approved. And then they change the words, or they change the style of drilling, and they just go against what they're authorised to do. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is state governments totally backing the mining industry and disregarding the precautionary principles that they should be taking, and disregarding their obligation as representatives of the people to manage state assets and in the state environment that they're supposed to govern, and just totally siding with mining industry because the links are so strong. And in fact, lots of ex-politicians then move on to become mining corporate hacks, and then you'll also see the mining people jump ship and go on work in the government as well. So, you know, what we've got is a total situation that is out of control, and the people of Australia are really losing their faith and their trust in our state governments and possibly even the federal government. So it's a real shame, and this is what is prompting people to band together and discuss it in their own community and to see what their options are and what choice do we have when we can't rely on our state representatives to manage this issue because they're not. And, you know, I've got people, for example, I will use Brian Monk as a very real and current example. Brian has been an advocate for the CSG-free movement. He's based in Tara, Queensland, in a little town called Coggan.
Sure.
He's on 5,000 acres. Next-door neighbours said yes to coal seam gas. That includes fracking. That included potentially the horizontal drilling. I'd have to just double check that. But from all evidence that Brian has submitted to various CSG-free community groups across Australia and to the government, the contamination is very real. He is
one of those people, like in that movie Gaslands, where they turn a tap on and they stick a light or a match next to that water. His water was ignitable, which has forced them to move out of their home and down into a camp situation at their bottom cattle yard,
right,
because now the air is contaminated as well.
Look, Wanda, I'd like to actually step through for new listeners, for people who are not familiar with the whole debate. I'd like to actually step through. We are going to break shortly, so we'll have to pick up on this after the break. But can you just step us through what is coal seam gas and what is fracking?
Okay, so coal seam gas, and let me just explain to people out there listening, I'm not a hydrologist. I'm not someone who's worked in the gas industry. I'm just a regular, ordinary person, a mother, and a concerned citizen. So what I've learnt is from real experience, from people affected and from my own personal research.
Absolutely.
So it is my understanding that coal seam gas is a form of unconventional gas reserve. The difference between unconventional and conventional gas reserve, I believe, is the extraction method. So with unconventional gas, they have to frack it. And fracking is that style of vertical drilling. They can then go horizontal for up to 12 kilometres, I believe it was Peter Henderson from Metgasco quoted. And then what they do is they shove some drilling fluids and some sort of a sand, water, chemical mixture at high pressure and pump it in there at high pressure, which then fractures the seam, which is
and forces the gas out.
Traps between the coal seams, yeah.
Wanda, we're about to go to break. We'll pick up on this straight after the break. You're with Truth News Radio Australia, talking to Wanda, who is a member of a number of groups opposing coal seam gas in Australia. Really important interview. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Truth News Radio Australia, going beyond the spin, deception and propaganda of mainstream news. Visit truthnews.com.au and subscribe now.
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio Australia. It's great to be with you today. And do check us out on the internet at www.truthnews.com.au. We post all our shows as podcasts on the website. And, of course, they're also available on Logos Radio Network website. And if you want to get them really quick after a show, go to the Logos Radio Network, because those podcasts are released within a few hours of the show, but they will include ads. I actually work on the podcasts afterwards, and within a day or two, I usually post the podcasts up with ads stripped out. My guest today is Wanda, and Wanda, I haven't really introduced you with any background at all, because I actually hadn't had a chance to kind of get to know your second name. And if you want to remain semi-anonymous, that's totally okay by me. But any information, you know, you'd like to give about yourself is great, just so we understand, you know, where you how you got into this, where you live, what part of the country you're in. That's all really interesting. But I tell you what, let's just continue from where we left off at the end of the last break, and we were stepping through what the technology is. And I'll just repeat my understanding of it. Coal seam gas, obviously, there is gas there in the coal, and that's what we call unconventional gas because it's in the seams of the coal. And there's a few different ways of getting it out. There's a couple of different types of drilling techniques, horizontal drilling and vertical drilling. Now, it turns out that this vertical drilling is where they do all this pumping of the water to fracture the coal seam, and that's what is called fracking. But the whole industry of getting gas out of coal seams is just called coal seam gas. Now, maybe it's not all bad. Maybe there are some parts of it that aren't as bad as others. But as I understand it, you're pretty much opposed to the whole lot of it because there's a number of effects from it. One being the contamination of the water table. Two being, as you said, the gas coming out and making the air unpleasant to breathe or even downright dangerous and even coming out of people's taps. Let's get into a bit of that.
Yes. I can speak about that because I have spoken firsthand with, for example, Brian Monk from Coggan, which is near Tara in Queensland.
Yeah.
He's saying to me that the Condamine River has never bubbled and now gas is coming out of the ground around the river and in the river. They have the Southern Cross University from Lismore, New South Wales, doing testings, and they have had meters proved that this gas is coming out at levels that are dangerous. The bore that ignites in his home is because it has flammable gas leaking out of the bore. See, that's a water, that's an aquifer. So they're wow. With their fracking, they have, and this is what the risk is, and everybody in that coal seam gas industry, and particularly even the state government, deny accountability. They don't deny that the risks are there. We've heard them say in their own inquiries that the risks are there, but seems that nobody is able to make them be accountable and make them stop. So this is why we have people power.
Well, it's just so shocking to think that this type of, I mean, it's clearly an assault on the environment. And we have a government which allegedly is committed to environmental issues. I mean, that's been the catch cry of the federal Labor government ever since they came in. And it's just so hard to get your head around it. But I tell you what, after all the research I've done and my understanding of the way the world now works, I think that the web of lies that we are caught within in terms of our corporatist government structures are so deep and are so vast that people really need to start waking up to the seriousness of the situation. You can't just sit back and hope it's going to go away, and you can't just think other people are going to solve this for you. If you don't take some action, if you don't recognize the severity of the situation, then really you're in for some very, very nasty outcomes in the future. I mean, sorry to take over there with a rant, but over to you.
I wholeheartedly agree with everything you've just said, and that has been a catalyst moment because when people, for I will speak of the Northern Rivers area because that's where I've been for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, that realisation that the systems in place at government, state, federal and even local level, they're saying to us we don't have a say. They have to tick a box. The CSG industry corporations have to tick a box to say that they've consulted with community. Not that they've consulted and come to a conclusion that's satisfactory for all parties, but just that they've consulted. So they have like an open day or a community forum or whatever. And it doesn't matter if we're protesting or heckling or opposing or promoting or doing articles in newspapers, scientific research, everything. It's all ignored. And that is because that system that is built on lies and bully boy tactics is in place. And so now it's up to the people to say, you know what, do we actually support this system and what is the alternative to the current system in place, the system where the state government set up inquiry boards and, you know, certain people to tick the boxes to make sure all these conditions are being met for these coal seam gas companies. But the problem with it is they all appear, in my mind, they appear to be corrupt. They appear to be linked to the very industry that they're supposing to be looking over and overseeing and making sure that, you know, everything's going above board. So we're left with coal seam gas free community groups sprouting up everywhere, banding together to protect, like actually protect their area and their water and their water supplies. And it's only because of people, I keep saying Brian Monk, and I just want people to understand, we're not doing this just because we saw a movie called Gasland. We are totally aware. We have done our research. We have university peer-reviewed research, researchers on this job tackling it, giving us the evidence. We have Brian Monk and his grandchildren with bleeding ears, noses, migraines, and other kids in the Tara residential estate who are presenting with illness that is linked and solely caused by coal seam gas contamination. This is poison, and it is happening in Australia. We have evaporative holding ponds, hundreds of them. They're acres of toxic water that sits there, and when we get a flood, where does that water go? Straight into our rivers and water catchment, because there's no law that says that, you know, they don't have to worry about it or anything. So they're poisoning our river systems. They're poisoning rural Australia's bore water and aquifer systems. And now look at Sydney. What's happening in Sydney water catchment area? I'm just really concerned that maybe once it hits the mainstream regional areas where the populations are higher, perhaps there will be some kind of civil unrest. Presently, what is happening is community groups across rural Australia are forming groups and adhering to non-violent direct action. You know, that's yeah. A creed where we are not violent. We take direct action and we protest. And, for example, people like myself and 18 other people at Glenugie around the 7th of January lock on or protest and try and stop the rig from getting into these areas.
Now, you actually engaged in this and you were chained to one of the rigs. Is that correct?
I was chained to the chassis, the undercarriage of a truck that was transporting equipment that was to be used in the setting up of a well site at Glenugie, 7 kilometres south of Grafton at the Avenue. In this instance, I was locked on with a bike neck lock around my neck and stayed on there for several hours. I didn't get arrested. Instead, when the police officers were asking me my name and details, etc., I chose to remain silent, and that is my right. And so I sat in silence for a few hours. I would only communicate with my fellow coal seam gas-free community members. And then after a while, I felt that I was able to speak and I was okay to speak. They kept asking me, what is your name? And I just kept saying, I am a soul who answers to Wanda. You asked me before my name, where I'm from, all those sorts of things. On my birth certificate in capital letters, my name is Janita Halden. I was born in Gosford and I've lived in the Central Coast for probably about 11 or 12, and then I moved to Yimundi up in Queensland, Sunshine Coast.
We're just going to break, Wanda. Stay with us. We're going to break here with Truth News Radio Australia. We'll be right back after a few short messages.
Yeah.
Welcome back. You're with Truth News Radio. And we are ploughing into the dark, dark seams of coal, trying to understand this industry of poison and degradation of the environment that has taken over in so many countries. Coal seam gas. I've actually got a few more thoughts about it that I'd like to just quickly share, because I know that coal seam gas was brought to us on the kind of on the back of the environment movement. I'm not blaming, you know, Greens for it. I'm not blaming environmentalists for it. However, I am blaming them for not being earlier on recognizing that they were being tricked. And what do I mean? Well, the point is, the big selling point of coal seam gas in Australia, the reason why it was allegedly introduced in the first place, is because they call it a low carbon footprint technology. What a insulting, twisted lie to use to get a system in that is just hurting people, ripping people off, and making a mess of the environment. To use an environmental cause for an environmentally raping agenda, again, it's Orwellian. It's like war is peace, freedom is slavery. It's like everything is the opposite of what it says it is.
Mm.
What's your take on that?
Mm. Well, I'm not familiar with what happened, you know, years ago regarding what you said about green groups or whatever, accepting the lies of being told to them about the supposed environmental safety of coal seam gas. But I will say this, it just reeks of the technique that coal seam gas industries use, where they manipulate words and they lie. They explain it in one way and then the reality is completely different. So, I mean, for those representatives in the Greens movement back then, if they were in a decision to make and they had a choice to make, I'm sure that they feel awful for those decisions that they made. I don't have any experience on it, so I sort of don't feel confident to really comment on it.
Well, I guess the point I would like to make, Wanda, is not so much the Greens specifically, but what I do know is that the government, which has, you know, it has a minister of the environment, right? It actually, the government has portfolios dedicated to the environment. And from within those portfolios, this technology is still being pushed as an environmental technology because of climate change. They are still using that argument. And I think that argument has to be soundly knocked on the head. I really think the Greens need to step up on this. But unfortunately, they are still too addicted to the climate change carbon agenda to really come up and say, look, this is just, it's just total rubbish. That, in my experience, they're just a little too soft on it.
Yeah, I think they could be harder. I mean, I've had lots of conversations with Greens supporters and even with someone who's left Northern Rivers to go work for Jeremy Buckingham in the Greens office in Sydney. And I think that they will try harder, but I don't know what they can do because they're operating in a system that's actually sick and cancerous. You know how we talked about the system that is built on lies and manipulation. So I don't really know what they can possibly do, because it's at a legislative level. Like, all of these legislations are in place, practically drafted by the mining industry to support the mining industry and to line the pockets of the mining industry. So I don't really know what the solution is from a political standpoint, because I see that our country is teetering. You know, we are losing faith in our supposed representatives, supposed leaders, because the agenda that they have is to promote themselves or to line their pockets. And I would love it if the Greens would prove me wrong in something like that, but I don't have a lot of faith in the political arena right now. And what I keep seeing is lies, you know, in terms of, for example, Metgasco market briefing, latest release for their coal seam gas market briefing. Do you have the support of the communities in which you operate? And you know, like, that's a pretty straightforward question.
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. We lock ourselves under your trucks and we stop your operations from going forward, all because we want to communicate with you that you're not welcome here, that the threat to our water supplies is detriment to our health, to our well-being and to our farming income, you know. And,
yeah.
And they just say, oh, you know, it's fine. We've got, what have we got? We've got the support of a broad cross-section of the casino and grafting communities in which we operate. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish.
And I'd just like to point out, in regard to those health risks, if you actually put into Google just coal seam gas health risks, you'll get some really interesting articles. I've just got a couple here that came up from major publications, Sydney Morning Herald, the ABC. Doctors raise alarm over toxic coal seam gas leaks. Toxic gases leaking up could be having an effect on human health, doctors and anti-pollution groups say. The Australian Medical Association's incoming president has confirmed that doctors have raised concerns that residents living near coal seam gas are showing symptoms of gas exposure. It's so clear. It's a disaster. It's an emergency. It's an environmental crisis. And yet it's all being treated like, oh, you know, some people are a little bit concerned, and you know, but we the government will issue little statements saying, yes, we will address your concerns, and we're very interested in how you think, but we're just going to keep going along with what we're doing, but we are adhering to good environmental practices. They're just kind of deaf and just repeating mantras, just little sound bites.
We are being abused. We are being abused by our government. We are being abused by coal seam gas mining industry people. We've had people like Dr. Marianne Lloyd-Smith from the National Toxics Network. People can Google that, National Toxics Network. Give us prime scientific data, giving us examples, evidence. We have everything that we need to say. Come on, where's your head at? You know, are you going to put the livelihoods, our food security, our right to clean, potable water, our fundamental human rights in jeopardy? Are you going to break the law and continue to break the law? Because I think ultimately what's going to happen is people are going to say, you know what? You knew. You knew what you were doing and you will be held accountable.
Yeah, and there'll be some down the track, you know, massive lawsuits. I mean, like, look at asbestos and all that kind of stuff from 30, 40 years ago.
Exactly.
And that's just dragged on and dragged on through the courts.
Yes. Yes. And one of my mates said to say on air, remember the Nuremberg trials where it was adopted worldwide. It states, even if you are obeying orders to commit a crime, you are personally guilty of that crime. Now, I am of the belief that crimes are being committed, crimes against humanity, especially children. You know, it is our job as adults to protect our children and to make sure that they are healthy and safe. Now, when the Condamine River is bubbling in Queensland, when Brian Monk's children in Coggan, near Tara in Queensland, are sick and they have been tested, when little boys' urine samples have been tested from the Tara residential estate, and clearly showing that these kids are suffering from contamination, thank you, to coal seam gas. They will be held accountable, and it's only a matter of time. And I suggest that they pull their rigs up, they pack up and go and invest in renewable energy, because this is what we want and this is what our country wants. We've got countries in Europe that are investing in that. And we want to know, why are they continuing to hide behind these faceless corporations? Where is the accountability for these coal seam gas mining companies? Are they just going to fold up and become insolvent when we take them to court and sue them? Because I believe that is on the cards. I believe that we will see a class action of magnitude unlike anything seen before, because, you know, you're not talking about adult smokers and adult workers exposed to asbestos. You're talking about children.
Yeah,
you know, and this is where the heart of the matter is. It's not fair and it's illegal.
And of course, there was never any consent, was there?
Responsibility.
Indeed, and like, there was never consent. I mean, I know some farmers have agreed to it, and some are making some money out of the wells that are on their land. But they're a handful, really, aren't they? I mean, have you got any idea of what the proportions of farmers or landholders that are in support of this is?
Minority. They're an absolute minority. And yep. The thing is, these mining companies target areas where there is a low income, there's, you know, the economy's a bit sluggish.
Yep.
So they go in and they look for these people who could obviously use a bit of money, and they go in there and they sell this concept to them. They don't explain the risk, the history, and the real proof of contamination. Instead, they use language that explains, you know, supposed safety of concrete well casing, and that it's only this much and it's only over this period of time, and we'll build you a road and do new fences, and we'll give you money each year. It sounds awesome. It sounds like, you know, these poor battling farmers have won the bloody lotto, doesn't it?
But it certainly does.
In reality, they turn their farm into gas fields. They then link these gas wells with a pipeline network, and then they roar up and down these dirt roads in their
passenger
vehicles.
I'm going to have to cut you off. We're just going to break. So sorry. We're going to break. With Truth News Radio Australia, we'll be right back after this short break. With Truth News Radio Australia. It is fantastic to be with you today. And I've been having a really interesting discussion with Wanda from the CSG movement based in northern New South Wales about the whole issue, what it's all about, why it's so terrible, why it's such an environmental threat, why it's such a health risk. And as I was saying before, there are some really excellent articles there that really do conclusively prove that this is a real health risk. This is not just someone's opinion. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is just well-documented medical scientific fact, which is being completely ignored by your caring government, who is so concerned about environment. They actually have a minister for the environment, you know, and everything they do is about the environment, and they're just so concerned about it, you see. And they brought in this wonderful technology called coal seam gas because it's low carbon. And as we know, carbon dioxide is a terrible, terrible threat to the planet. So we're just going to poison people instead. Who knows? Maybe poisoning people and killing them off is actually a great way to save the planet. I mean, obviously, if you start killing people, you will be reducing the carbon footprint. And that, again, has been seen as an agenda by some of people who've looked at this. It's an impossible one to prove, but in the face of what appears to be genocidal intentions on the part of the people that are doing this, I think we're fair enough to actually talk about it. Quick take on that from you, Wanda.
I just keep thinking, how come Minister Tony Burke doesn't step up? You know, like, yeah, he's supposed to be the Minister for Sustainability, Environment, Water, yeah, Population and Communities.
What's going on there?
We need help. Yeah, what's going on?
There's something, you know, wrong. There's something really wrong.
And how come people have to drop what they do for a living, put their work on the farm on hold, and take their children and their grandparents and come down to blockade to protect what we are rightfully entitled to? We have a right, I don't reckon I'm that experienced, I guess, in law and legal matters, but isn't there something called the Geneva Convention? And isn't there an article in that convention that we are a signature to that says we have a fundamental human right to access clean, potable water? Now, this industry poses a direct threat and is contaminating our water supplies in this country. you know, the land down under. We have our water being contaminated by coal seam gas, fracking, and, you know, they're just getting away with it. So how come Minister for Sustainability, Environment, Water, Population and Communities, Tony Burke, is allowing this to happen?
Sure. And, I mean, you've brought up a couple of examples there of conventions that are related to war. The Nuremberg trials, end of World War II, Geneva Convention related to treatment of prisoners in war. And I think there's an implication there that we are at war. But you know, we are considered to be the enemy. I mean, we are the enemy. We're the target. You and me and the people listening to this show, we're all targets. They're coming into suburban Sydney, folks. It's not just in the bush. You know, you've got to understand that where they start is not where they're going to finish. They start off in the country because it was easier to do it there. And, of course, there were a lot of struggling farmers who maybe bought into it and were willing to you know, let them in voluntarily to get a couple of thousand dollars a year, a very meager amount of money. I mean, a trivial, insulting amount of money compared to what the gas companies are making. And that's another thing I found when I read that, you know, some farmers were making a couple of thousand a year and they're making there are billions. I don't know what the profits are, but they're just incredible, aren't they?
The profits are insane, and the insanity extends to the point that they're actually exporting this gas. Like, they try and make the claim that it's to benefit local communities, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know, it's all lies. We've done the research. Over 87% of this gas is earmarked for export. Where does it get exported? Through the guts of the Great Barrier Reef. UNESCO is up in arms. Australian people are up in arms. They are not only targeting our water supplies, but they are potentially threatening the world's oldest living piece of history, the Great Barrier Reef. And they just keep getting away with it because people keep paying their taxes and going to work and turning on their town water taps and, you know, thinking, oh, it's okay, someone else will look after it, or it's not really impacting me. But you know what, Camden, Illawarra and Sydney people, you are going to be affected very, very soon. They are sinking wells in your water catchment area, you know, and the main, like, thrust of what I'm trying to say is it's now coming to your doorstep.
Yeah.
You know, it's coming to your backyard. It's not just the rural people.
The war is coming. The war is coming, folks, and we're all going to have to get involved one way or the other, either as victims or as people who take a stand. I mean, do you want to be a victim or do you want to take a stand? We can't guarantee we're going to win. We can't guarantee that, right? But not to try means to just bow down and say, I'm a victim, take me now, you know, shoot me now.
We have seen victims such as Brian Monk and his family from Tara, Queensland, but what that has done for us is it has given us strength, and we will resist this dictatorship that exists in our country. We're no longer going to accept the corporocracy that is evident and that is actually happening, and we need some solutions, you know. We know that out there there's patents and energy devices such as what Tesla invented, free energy.
Yeah.
And we have solar, we have wind, we have water.
And many other suppressed techniques too.
Our environment and our food security for these guys.
Absolutely, absolutely. There are many technologies which I've, you know, looked into, and there's a lot of things that have not been given a chance. And so it's not just a question of choose between, you know, oil, coal, or coal seam gas. It's that those are the options that they've put on the table, and they're not allowing the other options. They only want options that they have complete monopolies on. It's very simple. They want complete monopolies on any energy source. Therefore, they can create artificial scarcity, and with artificial scarcity, they can set the price.
Yes.
The price of oil is controlled.
Yeah. And they want that because they're addicts. They're money addicts. And the only reason that we find it socially acceptable is because, you know, they make money. And it's kind of like, you know, when an addiction is their greed and a money addiction, they will run roughshod over everybody. They don't care. They don't care who you are, who your kids are, who your grandma is. They will just come in here and rape and plunder your rural area, and now Sydney, Camden, Illawarra. They will come in here and they'll take what they want, knowing full well that they will get away with it. And if they breach a condition, they get a fine. If they contaminate water, they'll say, oh, that's naturally occurring. That's a standard catchphrase for this dirty, filthy industry, that contamination is naturally occurring because that gas is naturally occurring under the ground.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't do it. Prove it. Where's the evidence? So
it's
we
breathtaking.
Need to find the solutions. We do.
Now, I just
and
actually...
we need to stop relying on our dictatorship government to provide the solutions. We as the people need to step up and take responsibility for this situation because nobody else is going to.
Indeed. Now, I just want to briefly address the question of what happens when a landholder refuses entry to the gas companies. Now, just quickly give you my understanding of it is that land titles in this country are normally do not include the mineral resources. So you as a landholder do not own the resources, and it appears that in most of the country, the government has given concessions to the gas companies that allow them to go onto your land even without your permission. Is that correct?
It's my understanding that is the legislation, but we've had people such as Drew Hutton, president of the Lock the Gate Alliance group, who has sat down and prevented entry, and the gas company tried to take him to court. I believe, though, that unless they can gain access to your property, they can't get to what's underneath, and as a landowner, you have the right to lock the gate. You have a no trespass admission right, and there is a precedent set for that. So I think people just need to remember they are the master of their own domain. You have to say it is your domain,
but
it is your property.
I have seen documents, I have seen copies of letters that the government has been sending out to landholders telling them that they are required by law to let these people in. I don't know if these letters maybe are actually legally unsound, but it appears that this is what the government is actually trying to tell people. You are obliged by law to open the gate.
Well, if that's the case, take us all to court then, Government of Australia, because we're not bloody letting you in our gate. The gates are locked. The coal seam gas industry, transportation, trucks, rigs, everything is going to be prevented from getting into these areas. And these minority group farmers who continue to sign up out of ignorance or greed, it doesn't wash. You know, it doesn't wash. We are supposed to be a community of people. We're a multicultural community. And we need to start respecting other people's rights as well as our own, and not to mention our future generations. So if the government wants to push and say that we are legally obliged to open a gate to let a coal seam gas mining company in, I say lock the gate, lock onto the gate, and prevent the coal seam gas mining industry from coming anywhere near your property or your water supply, because they will contaminate it. We have seen the evidence and the ongoing evidence. So the government needs to really think, you know, are people just going to continue to believe in the government and continue to exist in some kind of ignorant bubble? Because it's not happening. We have social media, we have internet, we have telephones, we have emergency phone trees that we activate when we are being threatened by coal seam gas mining invasion. So,
Wanda, we're just getting to the end of the hour. We've got about 20 seconds left. Thank you so much for today. Have you, just very quickly, have you got anything coming up? Any protests coming up soon?
We have ongoing Glenugie blockade, people's blockade at Glenugie, 7 kilometres south of Grafton on the avenue. We need more people there. We also have Doubtful Creek, just south of Tiogle. We're waiting for a drill rig to rock up. We have a base camp organised on a private property. There's a prayer tent, camp kitchen.
Terrific. We'll have to leave it there. Sorry, Wanda, we'll have to leave it there. We're at the end of the hour. It's been terrific having you on, and I'm going to get you on again soon. See you next week. Truth News Radio Australia signing out.